Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, September 29th, 2014. And with me today, I have partners in crime, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. And also John Martellaro. And I hope you are doing well, too.
Yep. Got my shoulder holster on order.
Oh. I'm so very happy for you, John.
For an iPhone. Right. Not my 45.
Right. Well, yeah. Wow. Yeah, you know, the whole shoulder holster thing for smartphones. Oh, man.
But you know, there's lots of different ways to carry your phone other than just, you know, in a case or in your pocket. You know, we're going to look into that.
Yeah, and I'm actually really interested to see how many clever things we come up with. And I know for some people the shoulder holster thing is probably going to work really well for them, and there's some people who'll be like, this is so cool, I've got my iPhone in a shoulder holster and I can quick draw my calls. And and if that's you, then I'm really happy for you.
So a guy with an iPhone 6 Plus and a shoulder holster walks into a bar. I'll finish it later.
Yeah, I was waiting for the good punchline.
Yeah. And it bent his phone.
And it, you know, I figured there was a joke in there somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
And hey, speaking of bending, this whole thing with the iPhone 6 being like the rubber phone.
So bendy, yeah.
So bendy. Oh, so very bendy. Bendalicious.
Benghazi.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Bendalinda ding dong. Okay, so Consumer Reports, I totally get just how weird this sounds, where I'm saying, hey, Consumer Reports came to Apple's defense, and while people have been less than receptive to some of Consumer Reports' tests of Apple products in the past, today they're like, hey, Consumer Reports says not so bendy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we should totally believe them because it's totally true. It's not like when they told us that AntennaGate actually was, in fact, a thing.
Right. And okay, so now when I look at AntennaGate and I look at what Consumer Reports did there, I looked at it and it was like, I'm pretty sure these guys don't have the skills to adequately test radio systems. When I look at what they did with the iPhone 6 and the HTC One, I believe, the Samsung Galaxy Note 3 and something else. Mm-hmm.
But we can trust Consumer Reports to test the bending of pencils.
Right. Yes, they did a pencil test. That are bending pencils. They okay. So the deal is, Consumer Reports has an instrument that applies pressure to whatever, and then tells you how much force it's applying. And this is something that anyone with enough money can go buy. And so what they did was they took the iPhone 6, the iPhone 6 Plus, Samsung Galaxy Note 3, an LG phone, an HTC phone, and an iPhone 5. I believe, and they applied pressure to a single point on all of these phones to figure out how much force it took, how many pounds of pressure it took to first cause the phone to deform, so bend out of shape a little bit, and then how much force it took to get the screen to delaminate from the rest of the phone. And using this instrument, they found that it took 90 pounds to cause the iPhone 6 Plus to bend, and 100 pounds of force to get the screen to delaminate. And then the HTC, it took less force for bending and for screen splitting. And then on the LG and the Samsung phones, because they have a substantial amount of plastic, they would bend quite a bit and then just kind of pop back into place. The LG phone at 130 pounds, it just snapped and broke. And then the Samsung Note 3, it snapped at 150 pounds. So
I would like to point out here, when we're talking about pounds of force, it takes 8 pounds of pressure to break most bones in the human body. If you want to break a larger, thicker, more dense bone like the femur, it's on the order of 12 to 15. 15 pounds will break the bone in your leg between your knee and your hip. So 15. Let's make it the maximum of what most people say it should take, and that's about 15. 15 pounds will break the big bone in your leg. Right. And 8 will break either bone in your arm, your collarbone, you know, the lower bone in your leg, anything in your feet. 8. And we're talking about 110. So keep that in mind.
Now, what they did for comparison was they took 4 wooden pencils and they put those under their machine's powerful little arm. And it took 80 pounds of force to get all 4 of the pencils to break at the same time. So they tried to do the same thing with their hands, and they couldn't actually break the 4 pencils. They had to take one out, and they were able to do it with 3, but it took a lot of force. So to assume that most people are going to be in a position, assuming that we accept that everything that Consumer Reports did would hold up under continued scientific research – most people aren't going to be bending their phones. It doesn't matter if it's an iPhone or if it's a Galaxy, whatever, or an HTC thing. They're not going to be bending their phones.
One of the things that was interesting to me, and our Adam Christensen brought it up in the staff meeting this morning, was when a 180-pound male sits on an iPhone 6 Plus in his back pocket, how much force is then being put on it if he's sitting on a car seat or a park bench or on a kitchen chair. That's kind of a real-world thing that kind of helps put it into perspective. And so we were wondering whether these numbers were reflected in very, very high forces or forces that a 180-pound male could exert on a phone, you know, sitting on a park bench. And so that part's still a little bit up in the air.
Yeah. Yes. So the way this test worked, they set the smartphones so that each end was resting on a wooden block, and then the arm pressed down in the center of the phone. So you had essentially 3 points of contact, one at each end and then one in the center. So all of that force was really focused into a single area on the phone, and that may or may not equate to real-world forces where you have, say, your entire butt pressing against the phone, and I guess you'd have a small butt if your entire butt could press against the phone.
There's another physical effect too, and that is if you put a big hard object like that in a pocket, say maybe a front pocket, and you go to sit down and it's in an awkward location, it's going to dig into your leg or your hip. And you're going to feel it.
It does.
And you're going to stop. And you're going to stop and pull the phone out or rearrange it before you bend the phone. Because, like you said, Kelly, the phone's digging into your body and it's going to be painful and it's going to be a self-correcting effect.
It's certainly not a comfortable thing. Because I've sat down and had my phone be sideways in my pocket or something, and I go to get in the car or whatever. You know, I've been juggling stuff and put my backpack in and get in my car. And my phone's jabbing me in the leg. Like, that's not comfortable.
Reason I don't do it is, the reason I wear a belt holster is because I tend to plop into my car rather heavy. And I know if I had an iPhone in my back pocket when I sit down in my car seat, plop into the car seat, I know I would damage it somehow.
Well, and the thing that I wonder
would,
about...
I mean, I'm not saying I put 90 pounds of pressure on it and bend it, but I would be concerned about it.
Well, and it's also a slightly different use case if you're going to put it in your back pocket, because if you are, first of all, I need to call you out because it's a $700 slab of glass. And for somebody to think that it's smart to put that in their back pocket, I really, really wonder who those people are.
That's what I wrote in Particle Debris on Friday. On Friday, I said, put a case on it, treat it with respect, you'll be fine.
Just even minimal respect. Like, okay, I'm going to out myself. I'm a dropper, kicker, thrower. I call it all one word. When I carried a Palm Pilot around with me all the time.
Do you pull footballs too, Lucy?
No. Okay, but I dropped them on the pavement. You know, I dropped them downstairs. I dropped them on concrete. And, you know, and sometimes it would be while I was walking. And, you know, somebody bumps into me and I drop it. And then on top of dropping it, I've now kicked it down the pavement or whatever. So I had a case.
Because it's not enough that you drop it.
Right. It's just insult to injury at that point. And I have a case for one of my Palm Pilots that was described as looking as though it had been through a couple of wars. And so I try to be careful with my stuff as a result. And I do have a case on my phone in the event of dropping, kicking, or throwing. And I try to be, I try to treat them nicely as I can. And so far I haven't really dropped, any of my smartphones. I tried to be careful with the other ones too, and look where it got me. So I try to treat it like a $700 slab of glass because it's a $700 slab of glass. That's why it goes in my front pocket, in my front left pocket, where nothing else is allowed to live. Not a Kleenex, nothing. Only thing that goes in that pocket is my phone, the end.
Kelly, I reviewed an iPhone 6 case recently from Rockform called the Sport V3, and it actually has a lanyard. I'd never seen that on a phone before. That could become very handy when you're kind of when you're riding your bike or you're shopping or something, or you're walking around downtown, you want to keep it on your wrist. That could be cool.
Yeah, I've seen some people do some camera style cases for the fives that made it so that it was just on your wrist. And I've seen a fair number of those at Disneyland, where people want to have their phone out kind of all the time and also make sure that if they drop it, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because when you're on Space Mountain and you try to take a picture, it can end badly for you. So,
or at least for your
phone. You know, I think, well, right. Well, and then by extension, you, because now you're out of phone. So I think the one of the things about the use case here is that if you put this in your back pocket, you're sort of pressing against, I don't know how uniformly it is because butts, but you're pressing against the whole phone. It's not one of these things where like it's in a fixed point in each side and you're pressing at one point in the middle. So I'm curious if that also would influence the conditions here. The thing to me that really has made it so that my threshold for this is very low is that we've seen phones curve before. I've seen Samsung phones do it. I've seen HTC phones do it. I saw the 5S do it. I saw the 5 do it. I saw some 4s. I don't remember if it was the 4 or the 4S. But there were a couple where, and it was about the same number of people, in my estimation, that were having that problem that are having the problem with the 6 and the 6 Plus. So, which is to say, hardly anybody. And it's a picture that sort of made the rounds at one point because, oh, isn't this novel? I've never seen a phone do that. Most of what people thought was interesting about it a lot of the time is that it would have a slight curve. You could place it on a table and see that you could see daylight through one side but not the other, and yet everything still totally worked.
Yeah.
You know, one of the problems here, Kelly, is that the internet's too quick. You know, when people have these videos about, you know, look at me, I'm bending my phone with all my might, and somebody comes to the defense of Apple and says, oh, let's calm down, let's think about this, let's do some research, let's see how many people are really affected, let's look at Apple's testing lab, let's let Consumer Reports
out. No, because I'm angry.
No, yeah, that's right. Let's just have a fuss.
People are just loving, and have for a long time, loving pulling Apple apart for whatever they can find wrong. And in many cases, it's nothing different than you experience with any other company's similar product. But it's Apple, so Apple's going to get called out. And
right.
Yeah, and there you go. Okay, we're like out of time, but I'm going to take us over just a little bit. But not too long.
All righty.
Because,
we'll talk fast.
Because HealthKit was part of the iOS 8.0.2 update, and so the apps have started.
Well, the return of HealthKit.
Yes, the return of HealthKit. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so the apps that support HealthKit are starting to roll out and hit the App Store. And I listed the ones that I had found as of like the weekend in an article we have. I'm curious, what apps you guys, and I'm totally putting you on the spot, what apps would you be interested in seeing linked up with HealthKit?
Well, I'm a walker, so for me, I'd like to see exploitation of the accelerometer in the phone to create a pedometer, and then I can keep track of my walking. Because I don't like the way I'm recording my walking right now, so I just assume I'll have it in the device that's doing the measurement.
You know, the health app does that already.
Yep.
So you're set. You don't need any extra apps.
Oh, it's built in?
I'm ready to make my transition.
Ooh.
Yeah, the health app ties into the M8 sensor directly, or the M7 if you have an iPhone 5S. And yeah, so you can actually do the pedometer thing and the distance traveled thing right in the health app without having to get any other software. So John's set.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And well, because I was going to say, I like an app called Breeze, which uses the M7 chip in my 5S to track my steps during the day. I can set it a goal and tell it, you know, this is how many steps I want to be walking. And then during the day, it will say, hey, you know, like right around lunchtime, it'll tell me I'm so many percent toward my goal, and it'll tell me if I passed it and things like that. So knowing that the health app can do that, this is an app that runs in the background all the time, battery life, that I can stop running all the time because HealthKit will do it for me. One thing I would like to see, and I don't know if it's there yet, I haven't really investigated, but I signed up with a site called Earned It. And the thing I like about Earned It is I have my Fitbit hooked up to it. And with Fitbit, my Fitbit information gets synced over to Earned It. And all I keep in there is how many steps I've gone in a day. And I can earn points towards stuff. And then I can redeem those points for things like healthy snack boxes and workout clothes and different kinds of stuff for like outside-y kinds of things. And like more active kind of stuff. So I like that. And I'd like to see if anybody that is doing anything with HealthKit is actually integrating with that, because I would like to keep earning my points.
That sounds really cool.
There's something else that I want to do, and that is that I sit too much doing my writing, which is why I try to walk every morning and get up and get around. Mm-hmm. But I'm very interested in seeing an app analysis of the time I spend sitting as opposed to being up and around the house. I used to use an app called Time Out, and it would interrupt me on a schedule and kind of dim the screen a little bit and say, it's time to take a break. I go, no, I'm going to thought process. I got to continue. Right? No, stop, go away. And I would keep killing the reminder because I was, you know, working on an article so intently. Yeah. Right. So I'm interested in seeing how these apps kind of size up the relationship between the when I get up and move around, you know, do the dishes and do stuff like that, and how much time I spend sitting, and because I'm interested to see how it diagnoses me and how bad it really is. I'm not yet ready to do a one of those treadmill desks, but we'll see how this app lets me know what I'm up to.
Yeah, maybe you'll change your mind.
And maybe I will.
So the app that I would like to see linked into health is Fitbit, because I wear my Fitbit all the time. And so I have a single point for getting how far I'm walking, how many steps I've taken each day, the flights of stairs that I've climbed, my calorie counts, and sleep. My sleep patterns, all into health in one shot.
Because the watch won't do that. Once we get the Apple Watch, it doesn't track sleep because you have to leave it charging.
Right. So even if I'm using an Apple Watch, I'll still be using my Fitbit so that I have my consistent sleep tracking. And having all that blend together, that would be a beautiful thing.
Indeed.
And with that, we are out of time. So, John, thank you so much for joining me today.
As always.
And Kelly, it's always a pleasure to have you too.
Anytime.
And anytime. I will take both of you up on that.